This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, what's happening?
Have we been streaming live for 438?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And mark
Thought
the tape.
We might have had.
Mark the tape on that, by the way. Mark the tape, 438 straight streaming live shows. That is accurate.
Okay, all right. Get ready. Get ready for Mark the Tape, by the way. It's Friday the 13th. I'm wearing a black shirt. By the way, got to my guy, Wayne Birch. This is Trap Golf.
What is that?
Wayne is, I'm telling you, Wayne is a caddy for Troy Merritt on the PGA Tour. He's from College Park, Georgia. And Wayne and a couple guys developed an apparel line, Trap Music. You know, rap music, that kind of thing, and golf, of course. So Trap Golf became a brand, and Wayne is doing it to encourage positive among youth. They do scholarship stuff. They've got all sorts of different lines of apparel and things like that. But Trap Golf became an apparel line, I think, about a year and a half ago, and he's done a phenomenal job with this. And so shout out to my man Wayne-O, Wayne Birch in College Park, Georgia, and the guys at Trap Golf. This stuff is cool, and I thought about getting you one, but I knew you know, might have some Beat LA stuff going on today, given the events of last night, which you can clearly celebrate. There we go. That's right.
You know what this is? You know what this is called right here, Wes? I'm bringing it back. I've already worn it once on a T-shirt Friday, but I'm bringing it back today because, number one, it's America's T-shirt. America loves to say Beat LA. And for the first time yesterday, since the All-Star break, Giants won, Dodgers lost on the same day. Yeah. And I'm not talking about the head-to-head where San Francisco's dominated the Dodgers. But yesterday, Giants shutout win, Dodgers lost.
Yeah.
And guess what? That means you not only won, you're not two, you're not three, you're not four, you are five games behind the San Francisco Giants. So I speak for America, Beat L.A. never goes out of style.
So, and how many weeks left in the regular season with the five-game lead?
Doesn't matter. 47 games left to go, okay. My man. We got 47 to play.
47. Oh, my gosh. 47 games.
By the way, totally separate issue. A shout-out to everyone that did the Field of Dreams game last night. That was, I got to tell you.
Oh, man.
That was pretty cool. Now, I don't know if I would do that every night in the middle of Iowa in a cornfield. But that was pretty clever last night. I was digging that. I thought that was neat.
I'm with you. I don't know that it needs to be annual.
No.
But I sure did like it.
Yeah.
I sure did like it.
Yeah, you can put that one on the shelf. That was cool.
Yep. I might, and here's the other thing too, and I know it was inspired by the movie, and I was there 6 weeks ago to see the whole deal and go to the house and do all that stuff. It was cool. I mean, if you love the movie, that whole experience in Dyersville, Iowa is about as cool as it gets. But I would say this. There are plenty of other places where baseball can make an impact and do similar things to help the sport. And I'm all about helping the sport now. I think you can do that in basketball. I think you can do it in football. I think they do it with the Winter Classic and hockey pack. I think you can do something once or twice, you know, a year, once, maybe every other year type deal. But what a game, too. Holy cow, what a game. In the ninth inning, there was stuff everywhere. But the pictures, the whole deal, coming through the corn, Kevin Costner walking out there, I mean, that's the singular event stuff you can't get back. You can't do that again. You can't bring Kevin Costner through the corn again and have the same impact. But what an event. That was about – I mean, it was cool to watch last night.
Yeah, it was. By the way, you were going through some of those places when Virginia Tech played Tennessee at Bristol Motor Speedway a few years back, right? It was one of those kind of things that, you know, people say, oh, let's do that again. No, I don't think you need to do it again. Because before they even had that game, I remember on radio saying, man, it's going to be cool. We're going to have 180,000 people there. And you know what? I'll tell you, after being at Bristol Motor Speedway for multiple races, you'll have 180,000 terrible seats. But it didn't matter. You just want to be a part of it, right? Just hey, I'm going. Let's road trip. Let's go do this thing. I wonder where else you can, you know, from a football perspective, like from a college football perspective, where else could you go to create something like that? You know what I mean? I mean, Bristol Motor Speedway, for folks who've ever been there, I mean, it's completely vertical. It's an unbelievable place to watch a race. But then you just put 100 yards right there in the middle of the infield. You're like, oh, my gosh, these guys are ants out there. What's going on? But on TV, of course, that's a whole different aspect. But I wonder where else you could go. Just thinking out
loud. I think it's well, here's the other thing about last night. Last night was only 8,000 people.
Right.
See, that's the other thing. Sometimes when you're showing it on television, the intimacy of the event itself actually makes it more welcoming. I thought last night the fact that it wasn't 180,000 people and they weren't spread out from, you know, hither and yon. I thought the fact that it was only 8,000 people and everybody was kind of in a bench seat last night, you know, the dugouts looked normal, if you will, that kind of thing. I thought that was kind of the cool thing about the deal. You know, it'd be like playing an ACC game, and of course this won't happen because it's a conference game and the revenues are too big. What, you know, when they go to the deal in the Dakotas where they play at that Spectrum, I can't remember the name of the building, where they have the, you know, they've got the keys, the original keys in the foul lane in the Dakotas where they play some tournaments and things like that. You know, you play in a smaller venue, looks like a high school gym, or you would recreate like a Hoosiers game at Hinkle Fieldhouse or something of that ilk. That's kind of the cool thing to do. But can you do it on a smaller scale where you have like 1,200 people, 1,400 people? I'm not sure you can do that from a revenue standpoint, but, man, it sure was cool to watch that last night. And the pictures, by the way, the people doing the production,
excellent,
the director and the producer, they did a phenomenal job.
I'm with you. Again, for a one-time snapshot, it was a cool deal last night. Even if you're not even into baseball, it was cool. Like, man, these dudes are playing in the cornfield? Yeah, they are. Who's playing? Yankees, White Sox? I mean, it was kind of cool. So, nevertheless, that's out there. We got golf. I don't know if you've been watching it.
By the way, the building in the Dakotas is called the Sanford Pentagon. Thank you, Josh. I drew a blank on Sanford Pentagon in the Dakotas. That's kind of this old throwback building type deal they have there. So, anyway. There you go.
That's all right. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to the USAM. We've been mentioning it a few times because there's so many ACC guys still in the hunt. But let me tell you something. You better bring your A game to Oakmont. That place will eat your lunch, and it won't take long to eat your lunch either. That is some track. I told you the other day, my brother sent me a text because he's producing it and said, this place is insane. He goes, these match play events are going to be crazy because the golf course is so freaking hard. Oh, my goodness. I mean, again, we've watched you know, a lot of PGA U.S. Open events and all that stuff at Oakmont, but, man, that is some track. Now like I said, you better bring your A game or it will embarrass you. But these kids are good, man. Man, these guys can play.
Jacob Bridgman is – he got suspended last night. Play was suspended last night because of the weather in the area. But Jacob Bridgman is tied with Bo Jen through 17. Ryan Gerard's two down. Ross Steelman advanced. Austin Gresser advanced. Davis Chatfield of Notre Dame leads Alex Fitzpatrick of Wake Forest, by the way, through 13 holes. So that's where the ACC stands at this particular point. Play resumes here in about 20 minutes at Oakmont. And when Pac says it's hard, normally that means you got to drive it in the fairway. That's only the beginning at Oakmont.
Right.
Because you've got to hit it in the fairway, because when you get it on the green, you'd have a better chance making a putt on a hardwood floor in your house right now than you would making a putt at Oakmont.
It is hard. Man, I mean, it's hard on it's hard on television. And like I said, these are the best amateur players in the world, for crying out loud. And, I mean, it's just like every shot is a high wire act. But by the way, it's kind of interesting that Jacob Bridgman is playing with Bo Jen, because if you remember, they're tied now going to the 18th hole match play. But if you remember the NCAA Men's Golf Championship, Bo Jen was on the 18th hole and ended up making bogey, and that allowed Clemson's Turk Pettit to win the NCAA Golf Championship. So here we are again with Bo Jen getting the 18th. Now he's taking on Bridgman from Clemson, and he's already done the NCAA deal where Turk Pitt ended up winning the NCAA individual title. So he might be sick and tired of looking at that Tiger paw, but we'll see what happens. Those are two great players, though. Both those guys can flat out. Yep. They can golf their ball, no doubt.
Good show today. A lot of stuff on here. Odell Hagans, the associate head coach at Florida State, of course, who's been a part of that program now for, golly, 36 years. Will join us bottom of the hour. Looking forward to hearing with Coach Hagans, and of course played for Bobby Bowden, has been a coach there for 20 some odd years, so looking forward to that. We've got Leonard Hamilton from PAC's off-campus show yesterday, and Dabo Swinney also from the off-campus show. Man, what a cavalcade of stars yesterday on off-campus. With you.
Yeah, Mike Garvin, our producer, doing a nice job. We threw a little Dave Refson in there talk. They're on their Big Ten tour, and he was getting us up to speed with all that stuff. So, yeah, it was a busy afternoon. It normally is a busy afternoon on 84.
Yeah. Stephen Bailey will be here at 8 o'clock. He's from the 24/7 group that covers Syracuse. Look forward to catching up with Stephen again. NC State head football coach Dave Doran. Now, for those, some of you who follow the Wolfpack, who watch the show, we're always grateful for that. Dave Doran, your football coach, will be here at 8:30 this morning. 9 o'clock, E.J. Manuel from Central New York. He's on the tour tonight with Dino Babers and the Orange. So we're looking forward to catching up with E.J. and the Virginia Tech tight end. Now, Hokie fans, 9:30 is when James Mitchell could do it. We didn't put you at the end of the show on purpose. 9:30 was when he could do the interview. He'll be with us live. The fantastic tight end out of Bingstone Gap, Virginia, will join Packer and Durham at 9:30 this morning. So I want to get all the clarity out there, Pack. It's Friday. We want people to know,
Friday the 13th, to be exact. You superstitious?
Oh, boy.
Huh? You superstitious?
No, not really. Well, every once in a while, I'll do the same thing. Every once in a while, I'll start doing the same thing if it worked out well the day before. But on the whole, no.
Yeah, I'm not either. The only superstition I have is I like to collect wheat pennies. So if I get like change in a grocery store or something, because I really hate pennies. I don't even understand why we have pennies. I mean, what do you do with a penny? So I always check the pennies.
Well, we're out of them is what I hear. But
good. We don't even need them. Unless there's a couple trillion of them, we can just go ahead and write a check instead. But I'll go check the pennies. And if I get a wheat penny, I have a collection of wheat pennies for good luck. If I get a non-wheat penny, which is normally 99.8% of the time, I normally trash them. I don't even keep them. That's always a tip. You keep the pennies. I don't need the pennies. So I am anti-penny unless it's a wheat penny. That's my only superstition.
Given your financial acumen and the way I know you handle your business, would you prefer we round up or round down in the monetary world of the United States of America?
Yes, I do. The penny serves no purpose. The penny really serves zero purpose if you really think about it. All it does is get in the way. If you got change in your pocket, the pennies are always in the way. You can't buy anything with a penny. Women carrying around their purses, you open it up, if there's 8,000 coins in there, 7,812 of them are pennies. I mean, they're a pain. And then you got to count them and all, I always say, whatever the change is, I look for a wheat penny. If I don't get it, I say, man, just keep this. Just put it back in. I don't need it. I don't want to carry it around. So I'm anti-penny, unless it's a wheat penny. There you go.
Yeah.
It's the only superstition I got.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It is a Friday. We're getting ready for the weekend. It's show number 438. And I'm sensing we're getting ready to walk into a segment or two that we look like complete fools. And that's always a funny, fun thing for listeners and viewers. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. And as Wes pointed out, he occasionally, from time to time, if we're doing a segment, Wes will say, mark the tape. Well, apparently, unbeknownst to us until this day, Drew Brooks, Josh, the whole crew have been compiling our incredible, insightful predictions. And I'm sensing these are not going to work out well. So this should be fun as we laugh at ourselves. And with that said, let's go up to Bristol where all the smart people and the voice of victory. There he is.
There he is.
What's happening?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're excellent.
On a Syracuse road trip Friday, Josh Macri with a show appearance, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Syracuse road trip Friday, and here I am in Bristol.
Well, let me tell you something. The show's tonight, so as soon as 10 a.m. ends, man, you can load it up. Road trip.
Hop on I-90 and get after it.
Yeah, go meet them.
Not a bad idea. But before we do that, we do need to look back at some of your answers to our questions over the past year or so. You challenged us earlier in the week to mark the tape, and so that's exactly what we did. So let's start here. We'll hop in the Wayback Machine, go to August 20th of 2020. Right. This was right after Sage Surratt decided to opt out of last football season. And we asked you guys, with Surratt opting out, the best wide receiver in the ACC would be...
That's a lot to pick from. I want Scary Terry is what I want. But there's a couple others I could have thrown on there, too. I'm going to go Scary Terry on you on this.
Wow. Yeah, Tamari and Terry would be one. There are going to be plenty of candidates here. I mean, you start looking at Pittsburgh, Tasir Mack is going to be a factor in that.
Tutu Atwell.
Tutu Atwell, yeah, 61 catches last year. I mean, there are a handful of guys here. Look at Dubois, Daz Newsome, Dayami Brown. Those are just yardage numbers.
Yeah.
You start talking about guys. I mean, and look, we seriously going to have the Clemson conversation. I mean, Amari Rodgers. I mean, he only had 27 catches last year, but Amari Rodgers could be on that list with a full season, right?
Yeah. League is loaded with really terrific wide receivers.
Yeah. So it's that's a scary proposition. But I think there are also guys that are going to emerge from certain teams along the way. I mean, I expect the Virginia Tech numbers to be up this year, too. That's a really good – we've had two very good fill-in-the-blank questions so far. All right, go
ahead.
You
also just did a really good Dabo impression, Wes. Hey, give me one name. You give me 56.
Naming everybody.
Then there's this guy, and there's this guy.
All right. I mean, you start – hey, look, you're going to ask the open-ended questions. It said fill in the blank. It didn't say give me a answer in the blank.
Yeah. I didn't think the blank would be an entire book full of rosters.
All right. So we got that one right. What's the next one?
What? Did you?
I don't know. I have no earthly idea. All I know is looking back at that tape from a year ago, I realized I cut myself shaving like three times that day because I had stuff all over me, which was pretty good for me.
Yeah, you and the razor were not getting along during football season.
No, still not. No. By the way, still not.
As it turns out, Dayami Brown was the leading receiver last year, almost 1,100 yards, and Zay Flowers led the league in touchdowns with 9. Yeah. Let's stay on close. August 20th. Also asked you about the toughest act to follow in the ACC because we had Scott Forbes on the show earlier, who had just replaced Mike Fox. And here's your answer there.
Packer and Durham.
Oh.
No. It's Coach K. It's Coach K.
Yeah. Longevity, success. Yeah.
That guy may be number two right there.
Dean Smith was a tough one.
Yeah, but we've done that. I mean, we've seen how that followed. I mean, Roy Williams has done a pretty good job winning a few national championships.
He wasn't the guy who immediately came, though.
No, I understand that. Dean Smith was the standard, right? Modern day standard. Mike Krzyzewski's the next answer. Coach K's the next answer.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, the list, you're right, though. Dabo Sweeney's, it's tenure and longevity might not nearly be what Mike's is at Duke. Jim Boeheim's at Syracuse will be imposing.
No question. Hall of Fame.
Not as many national titles, but.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And when Tony Bennett decides, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go chill and fish or do whatever he likes to do, play golf. That'll be tough too, because you know he's not done winning either. This league's loaded with incredible coaches. Roy Williams, when he says, "Hey, you know what? I've had enough." That next coach, it's not Dean because Dean was the first one, but you know Roy did a pretty good job getting that thing back on track ASAP. So it's hard to follow a legend, and this league is loaded with legends. And I know we're just concentrating on football and basketball, but look at all the coaches, Wes, that we've talked to in Olympic sports. That have just set a standard in which you just go, wow, that's unbelievable how much he or she have won. So, the first one immediately to me was Mike Krzyzewski. I mean, 40 years and what he's done, that's
unbelievable. I was the same way. Almost the exact same thought. And then you start down that list again, and this is where Josh gets upset because I'll name like six or eight other people too.
Well, I know you guys have really done a lot of work behind the scenes to make this work, but we're two for two. We're two for two. Yeah.
Well, it is wild, though, looking a year later, that a number of the guys that you mentioned there have since either announced their retirement or announced that this will be their last year. And Coach Gay, this is going to be his last year. John Shire filling in there. And Hubert Davis, now the head man at North Carolina. Pretty crazy to take a look in the rearview mirror. All right, a couple days later, August 25th of 2020, we were talking about polls, just like we are here in August of 2021, and we asked you guys true or false.
True.
At least four different ACC teams would be ranked in the top 10 at some point last season.
False.
We've already got two. Right? Notre Dame and Clemson, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say true. I'm going to say true here. Because I think that, you know, when you look at Carolina on the front end, they're kind of in that middle ground. And I'm not going to be terribly surprised if somebody else makes a move, i.e. Louisville. Although Louisville has Clemson early, it might knock them back a peg. But four different ACC teams will be ranked in the top 10. I'll go true.
Louisville and Clemson do not play. Do not play.
I mean, not Louisville. I'm thinking about the old schedule. I'm sorry. They're at Pitt and at Notre Dame in the first 5 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to go false. I think North Carolina can get a bump up there if they get off to a good start. And, you know, for somebody else to make the run, to be a top 10 team, they're going to have zero or one losses. And I don't know if that beast exists. Because I do think there's some pitfalls of everybody of the North Carolina, Notre Dame, Louisville, Miami, Pitt, Florida State, Virginia Tech. Can somebody run that gamut other than Notre Dame, Clemson? I don't know. So I think two are already in. I think North Carolina could get there. I think three is the number. So I'm going to go false.
Nah, I lucked into one.
No, you didn't. There were four teams who made it, so you were wrong.
who's the fourth one?
So it was Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, and North Carolina.
Miami got in the top 10?
They did.
Great.
They awesome. Did. So Wes got that right.
Way to go, Wes.
We will not mention the fact that one of those teams most certainly was not Louisville last year.
You can't get all of them in there.
You can't.
That's true. That's the way it works. Hey, Wes, for getting that question right, do you know what you win? Do you know what you win for that? Because I have this answer.
Zero.
No, wrong answer. That's incorrect. False. Wrong answer. I have no idea what I win. Here's what you get. You, much like every single terrestrial radio station that jumps on the Packer and Durham bandwagon, get free parking. So when you come rolling in next week to the basement and Big Fuller sees Buddy Wes. Yeah. You, my man, get free parking right here at the Packer household. I can see your spot from right here. There you go. Congratulations. Excellent.
Thank you very much. Very exciting. Yeah.
All right, fellas, let's look back at one more this time around. Somewhat related to the polls. We were asking about the playoff on September 8th of last season. Specifically, we wanted to know if a team that never made the playoff would make it in 2020.
True. Now go ahead. You're going to ask me. Go ahead, Pack. Who is it? Right? I'm not telling you. I'm just going true. No, I'm just going to go true. No, I'm going to tell you why. Because this year is so goofy and so weird. Why wouldn't the games be, right? Yeah, we know Bama, Clemson, you know, same old. We got that routine. And they're favorites, and they should get there in all likelihood, assuming something crazy doesn't happen. But something crazy could happen, Wes. You know, how good's Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. They got a new quarterback again. And there's everybody talking about Oklahoma State could be really good. Maybe this is year for Texas. Those are two teams that can stick their nose in somebody's business. How about the Florida Gators, right? Florida can win the SEC East.
Right. Right,
Gator Nation's been barking ever since Jamie Newman left Georgia. Those two have gone after each other left and right. How about, you know, we've seen Notre Dame in there, so that wouldn't be a surprise. There could be a couple from the ACC. We were talking about Miami, North Carolina. I mean, hey, anything can happen in a year as goofy and strange and weird as this has been. So I'm going to just say true just because, you know what, why not? It's 2020.
What about the American Pack?
There you go. UCF, Memphis, Cincinnati. Right. Good.
I'm going to go true. I'm with you on this. I think the four will feature somebody that's never made it. Absolutely.
Just
the ratio of teams and all that, I think our chances are there. Yeah, I'm not sure. BYU's got their game. They ran the BYU schedule last night. I'm just not sure BYU's.
No, I just, you know, I said it just because it's the last thing we saw.
I have no idea.
I just think that we are kind of overdue for some strangeness given the year and how unpredictable everything else has been. I just hope we get in a position that we can have an announcement of four teams to get to a college football playoff. Again, right on the money. Spot on.
Yeah, well, the good news is we did get a college football playoff. The bad news for you guys is that there were no newcomers. BYU or Cincinnati or Memphis.
I would like to say something. You know, that question was asked in September of 2020, correct?
Yep.
At that particular time, there was no Big Ten and there was no Pac-12.
That's true.
So, I mean, you got to understand something. If you would have asked me the question, which you did, and we've eliminated two of the Power Five leagues, why wouldn't there have been somebody new in there? So, I mean, first of all, you know, You smart guys up there in Bristol, y'all can have all the fun you want trying to stab us in the back, but let's get the facts out there.
Maybe you'll get some right next time, Pack.
Yeah, I don't care. True. Yeah. True.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday here on ACC Network. A number of great guests are coming your way, including our next guest who has been on the show many, many times, and that is Odell Higgins, who is just one of the great guys, assistant coach down there at Florida State, rocking and rolling. And coach, point blank, Bobby Bowden, been a big story this week. I know he touched your life in so many different ways.
Yeah, coach, like you say, I said early in the week, of talking to people and they always talk about how many games he won, in which I think he's the all-time winningest coach in America. He is, no doubt about it. But all the games he has won, and I tell people all the lives he has saved. You know, that's one of the biggest things. I look at Coach Bowden, the lives he saved, a lot of lives with us and how we are as people. You know, we love him because he's a great person. Coach Bowden rarely on Friday before a game, I don't care, we played a big game or whatnot, he always talked about saving lives. He didn't talk about winning games. He talked about saving lives. How can I save your life? How can I prepare you for real life?
You know, Coach, I was curious when I knew you were going to join us today, your relationship with him as a player and then for as many years as it was as a coach, did anything change along the lines?
No. He kept being Bobby Bowden. That's the thing about it. Coach, I would say as a man, he was able to relate to a lot of us because he didn't let the time change him. He changed some of the philosophy he thought about. He was a disciplinary. He didn't play. But one thing about Coach, he understood people, the times of people. And for a person like that, it's unreal how he was. He could adjust. He was stern now.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, you don't win that many games. You can give me the dadgummit and golly gee stuff all you want, but when it was time to get to work, you had to do your job, right? That's true whether you were a player or on the staff, and, of course, you were able to wear both those hats. But I tell you what, the ceremony that's coming up this weekend, I can't even imagine how emotional and star-studded and all that stuff. And like you said, Coach, he touched more lives than just the football team, right? I mean, he touched lives of everybody, every walk of life. That's what made him so special.
Yes, he did. It's going to be very emotional for a lot of us because we lost a great leader, a father figure, someone cared about us, someone that cared about us other than football, someone that's going to be there for us. You can call him at any time. He would talk to you. Certain times in my life, I had questions and things I had, that I couldn't figure out. I would call Coach. I'd call him and he would talk to me about it, give me some suggestions. And he'd say, hey, I can't tell you what to do, but I'd give you some suggestions. He would help me out. But I can sit here and praise Coach Brown and talk about it. But a lot of people talk about stuff, but Coach Bowen showed it. He showed his humility and about his life, how much he cared about kids, people.
Odell, does that give you a little more inspiration, a little more in terms of what this season now becomes for you? I mean, just in remembrance of what he meant to you and what the football factor was in your life and with Coach Bowden alongside too?
Well, that question right there, it doesn't. And I'm always going to be who I am as a coach. I'm a coach hard. I'm going to go out and love the kids and just push them and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do because that's what he would want me to do. He wouldn't want me to be this way just because of him. But he would want me to be make sure I'm ready when God pushed the button for me. That's what he would want for me.
Coach, speaking of your kids, what have you seen in the first week of camp so far?
Hey, a lot of hard work, brother. We working hard. Because Norvell got them rolling, and that's the thing about it. The kids, they're working hard, man. We're having fun. You know, last year, I had a knee replacement 2020 February and going into the season and kind of shake on it. But, hey, now that knee feeling good. The kids are working hard. I'm having a lot of fun coaching.
Love it.
Well, you know what? In about 3 weeks, Notre Dame comes rolling in on a Sunday night, and there is no place in America that can capture night football, especially on the opening weekend like Doak Campbell can, Coach.
You right about that, man. Just saying that gives me chills, man. Because people talk about Notre Dame is a great university. They got great players, but we got to take care of Florida State University. This is what Coach Norvell was talking about. We got to take care of what we have to do here. That's what we must take care of as a team and as a university.
Coach, one thing, and I know you really can't comment specifically on. And Wes and I, neither one of us are recruiting nuts, but it looks like Mike Norvell, the staff, are getting the job done on the recruiting trail. All of a sudden, Florida State's landing 4- and 5-star kids like he used to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Norvell, he works at that recruiting, I tell you, 24/7. He works at it 24/7. And you guys see that in your head? You guys see that in your head right there? That carries a lot of weight in the nation. We're still Florida State University. And Coach Norvell putting things in place for us to be successful and showing the kids it's a family atmosphere. Like he always said, people talk about family. Man, I'm so happy. It is a family here. I'm extremely happy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being a coach here 28 years and playing here 5 years, I can see it again. And I'm extremely happy with what's going on here.
Well, We're looking forward to seeing you guys roll on that Sunday night, and we'll be thinking about you and several others this weekend. But I think the way we look at this season, it's going to be interesting to watch this league unfold, Coach. There are a lot of quarterbacks in this league. There are a couple at your school. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how the quarterbacks take the reins here, don't you think?
Yeah. Hey, man, you got to put the chips on the table and let's go. And that's what you look at. You got to put the chips on the table. Let's go to work. You know, we can talk about this and that, but, hey, it's all about the work.
Coach, let me tell you something. I can hear in your voice, man, I wish Notre Dame was, like, in a half an hour, right? I mean, I know you still got a couple weeks of practice, and you got to get those reps in, but I can just almost see you foaming at the mouth, like, man, let's go play some football. Get Chief Osceola out there. Put that flaming spirit midfield. Let's kick the pig and get after somebody.
No, man, I'm ready to go to practice in this heat down here. It's hot and humid, but, hey, I'm ready to get out there. I mean, look at every morning when I get up, say my prayers, come here, I eat breakfast, and I think about how can I pour in them kids? What could I do to get them better on the football field? And I'm looking forward to that this morning. Yes.
Are you excited about the defense? I mean, there's some guys that played a lot of football the last couple of years that are back on that unit for you. I mean, I'm thinking about guys like Coop and stuff like that that have an opportunity to really step forward for you.
Yes, yeah. He does, and Coop need to keep pushing hard, keep doing what he's supposed to do. He's going to be all right.
Any freshmen stepping up yet, Odell, that you can tell us about?
Well, I'll tell you one kid now, Joshua Farmer. This kid, he's doing a good job. He, you know, it's a learning curve, but he's a hustler. The kid has picked up about 50 pounds since he has gotten here in January. But, hey, man, this young kid, he's doing a pretty good job. I'm pushing him hard.
Hey, Odell, that's the Mark Packer diet right there. You're picking up 50 pounds now, man. Hey, what has he been eating? Cheeseburgers and Carolina barbecue? What are you guys feeding that kid down there?
Now, man, this kid was holding his weight down in high school. He just started eating three meals a day and lifting here in Coach Storm's weightlifting deal. It's amazing. He looks good, man. Man, you guys have a great diet. What you talking about?
You know better than that.
Oh, man. I tell you what, great to see you. You look great. It's always fun to visit with you. We look forward to seeing you during the fall. And, of course, we're always pulling for you. You know that.
Thank you all very much. You guys be blessed. Appreciate y'all.
Odell, he's great, isn't he?
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Good people. And great fun to visit with. And God, what a staple in Tallahassee he has been to that program. And looking forward to watching the Noles Sunday night, Labor Day weekend. Notre Dame rolls in there. Joe Tessitore, Greg McElroy going to be at Doak for the ball game on ABC. And they're one of the more intriguing unknowns right now, wouldn't you say, Pac?
I think they're one of the million-dollar questions for the league. And listen, how many times have we said Florida State's got to be good in ACC football? I mean, it's, you know, for the conference to get back to where it wants to be, Clemson's been great. Mm-hmm. Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech in particular, given the brands, need to be good. If North Carolina rocks with Mac Brown, awesome. Same thing with Dave Dorn at NC State and everybody else who wants to jump on board. But Florida State's got to be one of those teams that can't be mediocre. We just can't have three straight years of, it's Florida State. Man, Florida State's one of those brands. So, it's going to be interesting right out of the gate with Notre Dame on a Sunday night in the lights, Doak Campbell, all that great stuff. Be an awesome atmosphere, no question.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's a Friday. We're getting you ready for the weekend. Lots of guests the next couple hours. And while we're getting ready for some football in about 3 weeks, Wes, women's soccer poll came out this week with the ACC.
Yeah. League's already kind of underway. Some matches have been staged this week as campuses get back to schedule. Very quickly, we'll check it. No surprise, Mark Krikorian's Florida State team. Remember, the ACC had three of the final four in the College Cup a year ago. They got 11 of the 14 first-place votes, 167 points. That's 9 more first-place votes than North Carolina, 10 more than Virginia, And then Duke is 4. Carolina or Clemson follows in 5. Notre Dame 6. Virginia Tech 7. And then it goes Louisville, Wake Forest, NC State, Pittsburgh, Boston College, Syracuse, and Miami to round out the 14 soccer-playing schools on the ladies' side in the ACC. Florida State, Carolina, Virginia made it to the College Cup last season. The fall season begins in earnest next week. College conference play kicks off September 16th. Clemson hosting Pitt. Preseason All-ACC ledger is also out, by the way. Megan Borenkamp of Clemson. Hensley Handcuff is the goalkeeper from Clemson. Delaney Graham, Sophie Jones, friend of the show, I guess we could say that, right? From Duke. Jalen Howell, Yuji Zhao of Florida State, Macy Bell, Rachel Jones of Carolina, Amanda West of Pitt, Leah Godfrey, and Alexa Spanstra of Virginia round out the preseason All-ACC team in women's soccer. So there you have it. Also Florida State related, Sunday we had John Thrasher, the president of Florida State, with us the other day. Sunday is his last day in that role. He's been there since 2014. And, of course, was with us earlier this week. Boy, has he seen a lot in just 7 short years as the president at Florida State. Dr. Richard McCullough will take over on Monday as the 16th president in school history at Florida State, Pac.
Yeah, we appreciate him joining us this week. He didn't have to. He did. And talked about Bobby Bowden and what he meant. And, of course, that ceremony tomorrow morning is going to be unbelievable. Speaking of, yesterday afternoon on Off Campus on SiriusXM Channel 84, Florida State basketball coach Leonard Hamilton joined us. And I asked Coach his thoughts about Bobby Bowden.
I thought that he had as much to do with integration in the South during that period of time when he started coaching as anybody, maybe with the exception of Martin Luther King and a few others. But he had a major contribution because he did things that broke the color barrier in a way which made it acceptable, and it made the transition a lot easier than people in the South. He took kids and as he disciplined them, when they made a few mistakes, he forgave them and straightened their lives out, made such a tremendous difference in a lot of youngsters' lives. That changed the whole culture of their family, and he needs to be recognized for that. And now a story that I like to tell you: my wife was a Bible study fellowship leader. Well, by coincidence, my wife had a person in her Bible study that had homes in Tallahassee that she rented out, and I actually lived in one of her homes for 9 months. By coincidence, the house that I rented was next door to Bobby Bowden. Mm. How do you like that? Now, Bobby lived right out my garage. I looked at his door every time I pulled out of the garage, and for 9 months, I never saw him one time. In other words, we were next door neighbors, and we saw each other at work, and we were very friendly, but I never saw him one time. That just says a lot about coaches being busy, committed to the time early in the morning, late at night. I never even saw him pulling in or out of the driveway, and we really live 50 yards from each other, less than 50 yards, maybe 20 yards from each other for 9 months. That's my story about Bobby Bowden.
That was Leonard Hamilton yesterday on Off Campus, reminiscing about the impact of Bobby Bowden. It's been a really amazing week, even on our show, Wes, of so many people with so many great Bobby Bowden stories. And like I said, that will be some kind of scene tomorrow in Tallahassee.
He mentioned the integration piece of Bobby Bowden in college football. I will add that it started at West Virginia in his tenure there. And a lot of that, as you might imagine, we talked earlier in the week about tracing some of this back to growing up in Alabama and Bear Bryant. A lot of that had to do, remember John McKay brought Southern Cal to play that time, you know, Pac, you've heard about that great game with Sam Cunningham and coming east to play. And Sam Cunningham, of course, was a black running back at Southern California. And then from that point on, Bear Bryant kind of showed, hey, look, we're going to integrate this football program. Some of it started already in the Southeast, but that was on the whole the piece that pushed it forward. Well, Bobby Bowden knew about that, and when he took the job at West Virginia, he began the integration process at West Virginia, and then, of course, certainly brought it to Tallahassee. And nice comments from Leonard Hamilton. But 9 months and never saw the guy. Only saw him at work.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Go figure.
Before we go to break, real quick, we started off today talking about the U.S. Amateur with all the ACC players doing it. Jacob Bridgman of Clemson ends up beating Bo Jenn on the 18th hole. And as I pointed out, poor Bo Jenn. You know, he bogeyed the 18th hole of the NCAA tournament on the last day. Turk Pettit wins the national championship for Clemson. And here it is. Jacob Bridgman of the Tigers beats Bo Jenn on the 18th hole to advance in the USAM. So there you have it.
Look, I'm not telling the people at the Walker course how to do their business, okay? Certainly, I know it's one of the good tracks in the upstate. But let me tell you something. Y'all all send Bo Jenn an honorary membership. I mean, just do something. To, you know, let Bo Jenn, because right now Bo Jenn can't get around Clemson. So maybe, you know, drop him a green fee or four or five at the Walker course.
I would just say, hey, listen, I would welcome him anytime, just but he can only play the 18th hole. Maybe he gets some good mojo out of that.
Stop.
I'm just saying. But congrats to Jacob Bridgman. He moves on. And who knows? We may have ourselves about a handful of ACC golfers as we get to the Sweet 16 in the USAM. Pretty nice.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.